And then it just sort of slowly happened over time, this shift in the way that I was thinking and realizing that I was not taking an approach that it was a very like patriarchal, like, oh my God, like especially as a Black woman, someone who experiences both sexism and racism, potentially being on the flip side of that and actually propagating that was like a big realization. One of the biggest moments for sure that like hit me in my chest is when I asked someone like, is it okay if I check your cervix? And this was something that I hadn't even really thought about that I should be asking. That's sad to say, but like how we're just not taught, like that's an invasive thing. You should really ask before you do something like that. And she looked at me and she sincerely asked, like, do I have a choice?
Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, now let's get into it. If you had told me a year ago that I was going to be having Dr. Nicole Rankins on my podcast, or even that I would have the opportunity to meet Nicole or have a conversation with her, I would tell you that you are full of crap and I would tell you you're crazy, because never in my life would I have ever thought that I would have the opportunity to have a conversation with someone as influential in the maternity care space as Nicole. Now, I actually learned about Nicole through a business program, which is really funny. I would hear her name around like the business communities that I'm in, and she would be guests on other podcasts that I listen to, like one of my favorite podcasts, which is The Art of Online Business with Rick Mulready. She was a guest on that podcast. And so I actually knew about Nicole as an entrepreneur before I ever knew about her work in the maternity care space. And now I am very well aware of the work that she does. She has a top-rated podcast with over 1 million downloads called All About Pregnancy and Birth. She has an online childbirth education course called The Birth Preparation Course. And of course, you can take a look at all of that and more at her website, which is drnicolerankins.com. And the reason that I wanted to have Nicole on the show is because I wanted to have a conversation with an obstetrician that currently works in the hospital system. Now, I haven't really told you guys my birth story yet, and I haven't really told you guys anything about me personally at all. So the first thing that I want to say is that I did not give birth in the hospital system, okay? I gave birth at home. My entire actually pregnancy and birth was completely outside the hospital system. So I had actually not seen an OBGYN in probably a decade. So all of my care in my pregnancy and my birth, all of it was done in my own home by my midwife, my wonderful midwife, Dawn, here in Southwest Florida. She's amazing. I love Dawn. But just hearing all of that, I am sure you understand that I am a really big supporter of birth outside the hospital system. And a lot of times when people hear that, they automatically assume that I am anti-medicine or anti-obstetrician. That's what I hear on like social media, like all day, every day, all day. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. I would say that I actually had a home birth because that to me seemed like the easier thing to do. That seemed like the thing that I was less afraid of. It had honestly nothing to do with the hospital system and everything to do with me. And also, I just have to say that there are also a lot of people in my life that I dearly love, like my family and friends, who don't feel safe giving birth at home. They feel much more comfortable giving birth within the hospital system. And that's why I think it's so important for me to have these conversations with people like Nicole who work in the hospital system. So Nicole is what we call a hospitalist obstetrician, which means that she does not work in her own clinic. She does not have her own patients. She essentially works for the hospital and she takes care of the women that come in, let's say that have like home birth transfers, the women that don't have obstetricians, or even like she takes care of people until their hired obstetrician can get to the hospital sometimes. And another reason that I wanted to have Nicole on the podcast is because of her no bullshit attitude and the fact that she's not afraid to admit where obstetrics is going completely wrong. And she's not afraid to admit that maybe there's some times in the past where she also went wrong, where she was sucked into that narrative that birth is a medical event, that women need to be saved. And so you heard a little bit about that in that sneak peek that you guys heard at the beginning of this episode. That was a sneak peek from the interview. But during the episode, Nicole goes on to share a lot of her story of being an OBGYN in a hospital setting and being an OBGYN that supports a woman's right to choose. And she's very honest about the fact that in a lot of ways, that's not how her journey as a doctor began. And so we're going to talk all about that. We are going to talk all about how obstetricians and doulas can actually work together with mom's best interest in mind. And I'm just going to stop talking about it, and I am just going to play the interview for you. And as you're listening, I just want to ask you, if there's any part that you absolutely love, I would really appreciate it if you would just take a screenshot and share it to your Instagram stories. And you can tag me over on Instagram at birthworkerpodcast. And of course, you can also tag Nicole also to show some support. And you can tag her at Dr. Nicole Rankins. All right, I'm going to stop talking now. Let's play the interview.
That is me. Yes, I have been in practice for 16 years actually now, which is crazy. And yes, my podcast is all about pregnancy and birth. And very shortly, it's going to cross 1 million downloads. That is my baby. I love my podcast. And also, yes, I have a childbirth education class. So you nailed it. And I'm a mom. Also,
and your mom to two girls. Yeah. I think everyone else also loves your podcast as much as you love your podcast. A million. That's, yeah, I would be pinching myself, and I'm sure you are. That's really cool. So from watching you, listening to your podcast, watching you on Instagram, you seem drawn to helping moms understand how important it is to advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. Is that, you'd say that's right?
That is 100% correct, because although, you know, it's not all bad, I certainly don't want to paint a terrible picture, but the reality is that birth in the U.S. is typically a patriarchal approach. It can often take away power from women. And for some, it's also racist for those who fall into marginalized communities. So systems, there are things happening on the system side to try to make changes in our system, but that stuff is really, really slow to happen. And I believe that birthing people can empower themselves with information and help make those changes come about faster and be able to advocate for themselves when they go into having birth, especially in the hospital. Like, that's what I know. So that's what I talk about. And it's just really important that you educate yourself and you're prepared and ready to advocate for yourself. I always say I would be delighted if I was put out of business and I didn't have to talk about any of this stuff anymore. But the reality is, where we are, folks just need information. So I want to provide evidence-based information that really centers the birthing person so they can advocate for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like a unicorn OBGYN or...
Okay, see, here's the thing. Like, a lot of people say that a lot, like, I'm a unicorn. And honestly, I'm not.
Okay, there are that's good.
Some of us who are, like, hiding in the shadows, who, okay. You know, people call us crunchy granola or those kinds of things. It's just that I felt comfortable finally, like, speaking up about it. So I think the more that I talk about it, I actually get messages from folks sometimes. They're like, thank you, and, you know, we appreciate your content, or I send folks your way. So I'm not. There are and there are some birth story. I have some birth story folks for birth stories on the podcast where people share. They have great supportive doctors. So I don't. Would I say that I'm the majority? No, but there are folks who are out there that believe similar to what I believe.
Mm-hmm. And I hope over the next decade, it's just more and more and more people feel confident coming out from the shadows. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our conversation
is culture and how we've been taught. And it's just, I mean, even myself, like, I've said this, you know, I used to roll my eyes at birth plans because I didn't know any better. And then just kind of taking a step back and realizing this isn't right. This doesn't, you know, why am I doing this? Kind of questioning things. So it let me realize like, this is not the way that we should be doing this.
Yeah. Well, that's really fascinating. Was there a specific moment that made you question what you had been taught or what you thought previously?
You know, honestly, part of it came from my own sort of like self-discovery process and figuring out like what I wanted to do with my life, for lack of a better word, and reading books and like The Alchemist or The Untethered Mind, like just sort of like developing myself and thinking about like how I was showing up in the world. And then it just sort of slowly happened over time, this shift in the way that I was thinking and realizing that I was not taking an approach that it was a very like patriarchal, like, oh my God, like especially as a Black woman, someone who experiences both sexism and racism, potentially being on the flip side of that and actually propagating that was like a big realization. One of the biggest moments for sure that like hit me in my chest is when I asked someone like, is it okay if I check your cervix? And this was something that I hadn't even really thought about that I should be asking. That's sad to say, but like how we're just not taught, like that's an invasive thing. You should really ask before you do something like that. And she looked at me and she sincerely asked like, do I have a choice? And it just really was like, oh my God, everybody needs to know they have a choice over what happens in their own bodies, period, hard stop. So, and really since then, it's just, you know, I've gotten more and more comfortable in talking and all of those kinds of things. So
that's amazing. You know, the book, The Alchemist, was what started my life change also.
It's a great book.
Really a great book.
Yeah.
So this conversation, I wanted to jump in and have a conversation with you about how doulas and OBGYNs can work mm-hmm. together to support moms and to support moms being the authority over their own birth. So knowing mm-hmm. that they can decline things if they want to, or they can speak up if they don't feel heard. Yes. I guess my first question for you is, how many of your clients have doulas?
Yeah. So in our hospital, and I've worked in I would say throughout my career, but it's getting more and more, but I would say in general, it's roughly about 20 to 25% of folks will have a doula. So still most folks don't have a doula.
Yeah. And do you notice the clients that have a doula, the woman or birthing people that have a doula, do you notice an impact on their birth, on the outcome of their birth, maybe lower rate of intervention or?
Yeah, definitely. But I would like to say like, it actually doesn't matter what I think, because the data research is super clear that having a support person like a doula improves outcomes. It improves your satisfaction. It decreases your need for pain medication, increases your chances for vaginal birth. That data is very clear. So irrespective of what any of us think, we should all be supporting folks having continuous labor support from a doula because it helps the end.
So. Now, what have you seen from working in the hospital setting? Do you see that most other providers also support a doula's role?
It really depends. And not just speaking from the hospital, but also like, you know, I'm in online groups and things like that. It's all over the place. There's some people who are really comfortable and they know the benefit of doulas. As physicians, they've actually had doulas themselves for their births. So there's some who are definitely really supportive. I would say as a whole, we're not at the point where most folks are supportive. Not where I happen to work, yes, people are totally supportive of doulas. Like in my hospital, it's you know, not even an issue at all. Nobody even bats an eye. But that's not the case at all hospitals. And actually, that's the case with most hospitals in my area. But it's not the case at all hospitals. And you can really have situations where someone in labor room two, someone in labor room three, and one in labor room two in the same hospital, their doctor is like, this is great. Yeah, you have a doula. And the one in room three is like, I hate doulas. And that's one of the reasons why I tell folks, this isn't something you want to find out when you get to the hospital. You need to ask these questions during your prenatal appointments, so you're prepared and you can change and find another doctor if you want to.
That's a really great idea for people to ask their provider how they feel about a doula. Mm-hmm. Do you have conversations with your patients and almost encourage them to hire a doula?
Yeah. So I only work in the hospital now, so I don't do prenatal care, but I would certainly say, I say in my childbirth class and the podcast, definitely consider a doula instead of like 5,000 onesies on your registry. Ask for some money to get either a doula during your labor or your birth or postpartum as well. So I 100% recommend that folks should consider a doula because, again, the evidence shows that it's going to help.
Mm-hmm. Since you're a hospital-based OB, do mm-hmm. you take care of the woman who come in from transfer situations from home birth?
Yes, I do. Actually, that is one of the things that was important to me in my role at my hospital. I actually reached out to one of the birth centers in the community that does birth center birth and home birth. And myself, I work in a hospital where we have nurse midwives who work side by side. So me being the director of my program, the nurse midwife director, we went out, we met with them. We said, hey, we want to be a place where you can send folks. And it's a place that's a welcoming place for folks to come. That's one of the things that I believe is really important, that we all need to just like, we start from what best serves the person giving birth and then, you know, develop the system around that. And one, a really key piece of that is having seamless and easy, you know, transfer from home birth to hospital if need be. So yes, I 100% support that.
I love that. You know, speaking to moms, and I'm sure you've seen this too in your courses, speaking to moms and even speaking to new doulas, a lot of them don't realize if they haven't given birth before, they don't realize that the midwife or the obstetrician typically is not going to be by their side the whole birth. That surprises moms.
Yeah. And I have a class on making a birth plan. And this is one of the questions that I tell people to ask, will you be there for my birth? Mm-hmm. And not only that, but a lot of people, you're right, don't like the doctor pops in kind of, you know, a couple times during the labor. It's really your labor nurse who is with you for the vast majority of the time. The doctor or the midwife is not there as often. And yes, people are definitely surprised by that. And I often say, like, you know how your doctors, when you go to a doctor's appointment and they're in the office, they have patients who are in labor while they're still in the office. So they can't be all places at once. That's just sort of the nature of the way our system works.
Mm-hmm. And that's why having a doula is so awesome, because the doula mm-hmm. is like literally by the folks' yep. side the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if from your personal opinion or your professional mm-hmm. opinion, mm-hmm. are there certain things that you see doulas do that you're like, wow, like that changed that woman's birth? Like that was such a great idea. You supported her in such a great way.
Yeah, I think we, I think just this is going to sound like simple and straightforward, but just being like a nice person and not like creating a combative atmosphere. It's actually on both sides. There are OBs who trash doulas, there are doulas who trash OBs, and neither one of us should be doing it. Yes, we need to talk about some of the problems that happen, but we don't need to like set a foundation of constantly like trashing each other. That is not helpful for anybody. So if we can all come to that situation where we're like, hey, we're all here to support the birthing person, then I think that is what makes the biggest difference. So I think some things that I find particularly helpful are when mom is having a difficult time making a decision about something, really. Sometimes moms will turn to the doula and ask her like, well, what should I do? And I really think in those circumstances, it really should be like pushed back to the mom in the sense like, you know, this, here are your options and this is the choice that you should make for yourself. They shouldn't get into a situation where they're making decisions or choices for people. I think that that helps to create a nice, it helps empower the woman and helps her feel good about how things went during the labor and the birth.
Yeah, I love that. And I think even if the doula is witnessing a conversation between the doctor and the woman, the doula can also play a role and say, like, bring it back to the birthing person. If the doctor's not doing that, bring it back to that birthing person and say, in the end, this is your choice. What do you want to do, mom?
Yes. And then one thing I also think is helpful is that for a doula to kind of put some space in between when a conversation happens and when the decision happens. So saying something like, you know, do you want a few minutes to talk about it? Just the two of you guys, and we can step out for a minute. That often helps to like slow things down, gives them a chance to think about it, because doctors are often going to and not necessarily stop and give people some time to think about things. So I think that's also a really important role to just bring up that possibility of, hey, do you guys need a minute? Do you want us to step out? Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Is there another way beyond that to de-escalate? Maybe if there's tension in the room, between all three parties, between the doula, the main care provider, and the mom?
Yeah. So this is something that I thought a lot about, something that I've seen, which is like this, like doulas are getting a lot of pressure, and I don't think it's always necessarily fair to be like the savior during the birth experience. And that's a really difficult position to be in and to expect someone to be in, that this one person is going to be able to save you from all of the things. It's actually not fair, I don't think. So I don't want any doula to feel like they have to feel like they have to save everything. You know, everybody does the best that they can. So I would just say helping the conversation to be more human. So in the sense that, like, are you saying that you are scared because you're worried about, or are you trying to say like you're worried about what is going to happen when your water breaks, or you're worried about what could happen, or do you want to know some of the risks? So trying to lead the conversation and starting it with feelings. People tend to relate to feelings, and then sort of try to tease out like how the conversation can just be about information and then making a decision. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Like feelings first rather than just information, and especially like over medicalized information where maybe mom isn't even quite sure
exactly
what's being spoken about. Yeah,
exactly. Because we sometimes get lost in the fact that we do this all the time and that person has not. So we just need to like take it down and help people understand that this can be scary. Even though for us, it seems straightforward, it's not the case for that person, and helping us to see that and slow things down in that regard.
Yeah. And I love how you started off your answer. You said, I forget exactly what you said, but you said like, bring everyone to the same level, make it more human again.
Yes. And, like, try to connect with people on a human level first. Now, by all means, if people don't listen and they like get nasty, then you get nasty right back. but you want to start from trying to make those human connections. That typically works best.
Yeah. I think that was one of my biggest skills as a practicing doula, is like seeing you as Nicole and seeing the mom as Rachel or whoever, and not seeing you as an authority in some way. Like you're literally just Nicole, and you care as much as I care about the outcome of this birth. And
absolutely. And, absolutely. Or it's, unfortunately, in some cases you find that maybe people don't care as much, and then you can adjust course as needed too. But yeah, seeing people as humans is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. You bring up a really good point. If the doula, or really the mom, if the mom's noticing that she's not receiving optimal care from her care provider, is there something that mom can do? Is there something that the doula can help facilitate?
Yes. So one of the things, it depends. So if there's One thing that can help is maybe changing nurses if it's like a nursing issue. So if you're not having a nurse who you're connecting with, or you don't feel supporting you, you can definitely ask for a different nurse. So that can help. It can be challenging during the course of labor if you're butting heads with a doctor. That, I mean, there's just no way to get around that. It is theoretically possible that you could say, you could always say, like, I don't want you here anymore. I want someone else. And, you know, they can call one of their partners, or in the case where we work in the hospital, we as hospitalists step in those rare situations when that happens. But so, yes, you can do that to the extreme. But one thing is ask for a good, you know, a different nurse. You can ask for a different doctor. But again, that's challenging. I teach folks to try to know as best you can going into the situation, who's going to be there and whether or not they're going to support what you want for your birth. So there you can avoid those surprises, because it's much better to avoid it than to try to have to deal with it in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Do you think it's possible to have a hospital birth and to decline most of the routine procedures? And I think from a doula standpoint and from what I've seen in person, I think the hardest things to decline, or what moms get the most pushback on, are things like they want to catch their own baby, or I guess that probably really depends on the provider.
It really does. And I encourage folks, if you have ideas or things about what you want to do, to talk about it during your prenatal visit. So you're not like springing this on somebody just when they get there. And then you can talk through and you can have an idea. Maybe you can come to an agreement about what could happen. Like, for instance, if a dad, for instance, wanted to be part of the birth, that doesn't bother me. Sure, put on gloves. I've done this thousands of times. I can guide you through this. I can take anybody and walk them through how to, you know, do this. But not everybody feels so comfortable with that. So I can't stress enough, like, I don't want you to wait until, like, and hand this birth plan and say, here are all the things. And then they look through and they're like, we don't do any of that. And then you're trying to scramble to figure out how. You really need to push that conversation to during pregnancy so that there are no as few surprises as possible when you get to the hospital. Birth is an unpredictable process and we can't guarantee anything, but you can control how prepared you come to the process. That you can 100% control.
Mm-hmm. Your patients that you serve, you're meeting them for the first time when they're in labor.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's special.
I have the unique task of establishing rapport fairly quickly, and which is thankfully something that I feel like I've gotten pretty good at. But yes, I don't meet folks until they are in labor.
Mm-hmm. And is one of your first, the first things that you want to complete is getting clear on the birth plan and mom's wishes?
Yeah. So I always ask, is there anything you want me to know about what you want for your birth?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some folks have several things that they want. Some folks are just like, so just sit down, who I am, how things go. I always set the expectation that birth is a normal and natural process, and that's how we approach it. It's not a disease or a medical condition. So we really just need to let labor happen. However, if there are things where we believe interventions need to happen, then we'll talk about it first and we're prepared to deal with the full gamut of emergency situations if they come. But we start from a baseline of this is a normal, natural process. Some OBs, and part of it's the way that we're taught, start from thinking that every birth is a disaster and we're just averting disaster. But I like to flip that and say it's normal, but I'm prepared for any disaster if it comes.
Yeah. That's kind of how you guys are taught, that mm-hmm. to err on the side of
mm-hmm.
we need to help people. Yeah.
And part of it is because when you're in training, especially, you see all of the, I mean, I have seen some things that can be challenging. I had a patient who was a home birth transfer. She got 26 units of blood products from a severe postpartum hemorrhage. She did fine. And she said that the care that we gave her actually restored her faith in medicine. That was one of the, she had chosen a home birth because her experience was so poor before. So I have seen the gamut of things that can go wrong, but that doesn't mean that I still don't believe that like birth is normal. So we sometimes see those things and it makes us like on edge and nervous, understandably so, but we have to kind of reset the culture and approach it as normal, but be prepared for things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you are like the dream doctor for most women, especially most women that I know and that follow and me and are in my community. We would be like honored to have you as a doctor.
Well, thank you. I try because it also helps to create trust so that when I say that this baby needs to come out now, that you understand that I'm not saying that because I'm trying to hurry up and get this over with, or I am saying that because there are things that are concerning and this is what I believe is the safest for you and your baby. So it helps to create that trust when you start
that way. It really does. I mean, I very specifically remember one birth where the doctor was telling us that the baby needs to come. It's probably an urgent situation, but she couldn't answer questions about what potentially was happening. And at one point she talked about maybe the baby's too big, and just the mom had prior births before. And this baby seemed smaller to mom. So just mentioning that the baby might be too big put on our red flag alert. Right. And it made us question whether there was really an emergent situation. Mm-hmm. And there ended up being, and it was a placental abruption, and everyone ended up being fine. Gotcha. But you're right in the sense that like, it was a little bit of like the boy cried wolf. So when something was really happening, it was hard for the mom to know what the right decision was.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation. That was phenomenal. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
If a mom or if a doula is helping a mom find a doctor, or if a mom is just looking to find a doctor that aligns with her beliefs, do you look for recommendations? Do you just call around and ask? Do you bring up your wishes on the phone to the receptionist? What do you do?
So yeah, I did a whole podcast episode about that recently, about how to find a good doctor. I can't remember what number it is, but it can be challenging. You're not going to find that in like the first visit. So the first visit, you're just going to, it may take that you have to meet a couple folks, but I have some things first, there are several things. One, you need to figure out, like, number one, who do your insurance takes? That's the reality where we are. Number two, the hospital that your insurance works at. So start from there. And then definitely ask for recommendations. Doulas, I think, can be a great source because you can see birth at different places and different doctors. Like, I don't know how my colleague down the hall delivers necessarily. I'm not in the room with them. Whereas a doula can be in different places. I actually think that's something that doulas could potentially charge for, because we all know that doulas are not, you know, the you want to help folks, but you need to eat too. So you need to get paid. So just sort of like a phone call. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be, you know, $50-$75 for a half hour discussion of different doctors and who you recommend and why and those kinds of things. So doulas have that perspective, which I think is good. Asking your friends or people in the community is definitely good. And you want to ask people who are similar to you, because someone might be like, I'm getting an epidural like 3 days before I go into labor. There are some people who are like that. And then there's some people who really want low intervention. So you want to ask people who are similar to you and what you want for your birth. And you may not know all of the things that you want, and don't be afraid to change if you find that whoever you're with is not, something's not right. My last piece of advice to that is like 100% trust your gut. Those little signs and intuitions and things that we get in our body are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you have to listen to it and say, hey, is this something that I need to pay attention to, or am I being overly anxious? It doesn't always mean that something is wrong, but if there's a body signal that's saying like something's not right, listen to it and investigate it.
Mm-hmm. And you can change providers up until the very last minute.
Up until the last minute, yeah. up until last, up until the last you can change. It gets harder the further along you get. Especially something I learned, and I know we're getting close to time. Something I learned is that some practices now are collecting, like they collect the deductible ahead of time. So So you're having to pay most
monthly.
You don't want to end up losing out. And a lot of them will want that paid by like 28 or 30 weeks. So you really want to try to figure out fairly soon if you want to change, so you're not roped into paying for care for someone where you're going to see somebody else.
And if you just want to show up to the hospital and labor, you could be lucky enough to be graced by Nicole as your doctor.
Fortunate. Like I practice with another set of hospitals, a hospitalist who we practice similarly, the physicians in the community. So there are places that are great. You just have to figure out where, because it really is dependent. I interviewed a birth photographer for the podcast, and she talked about how one hospital was absolute same town, awful for the way that they treated people. And the other one was great. So you just have to do your research.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Listen to women's stories and believe women, what they say. And
100%. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the work you're doing. Really, it's just, I'm honored that you exist. And I wish more obstetricians could see you and see what you're doing and feel confident doing the same thing and following your path.
Well, thank you for reaching out to have these type of conversations, because they're really important that we all work together to provide the best care for those who are giving birth. That should be our North Star.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Really.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a good one. And wish you the best in your new business. I know it can be challenging. And it's hard. It's important, because I think so many doulas, and I'm sure you'll talk about this, have a heart for their work, but I don't want them to forget that they need to be compensated.
Yes, for the work that they 100%.
Do. Yeah. Because I mean, you can do sliding scales and things, and you can decide where to give your time and things like that. But you have to live. So don't be afraid to like charge for your work.
Yeah. I'm going to teach them too, how to do like what we do and create online courses too. Mm-hmm. So they don't feel like they have to rely on going to birth to feed their family. They can go to births for fun and charge what they want to charge, because they're already getting their recurring revenue from their courses.
Yeah.
That's the secret. We found the secret.
If you're already subscribed to the show, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you more than you know, and I really hope you enjoyed the episode. But if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you hit subscribe, because in the next episode, we are going to talk about my best tips for being a birth doula when you actually have your own babies at home to take care of. And the other thing that I want you to do right now is this. Go to the show notes or birthworker.com/makemoney-podcast and download the resource that I've put together for you all about the different ways to build an impactful doula business beyond supporting births in person. It's full of ideas that will help you burnout-proof your birth business so you can make an income even when you're not on call. It's been a huge hit with my community over on Instagram, so of course I had to tell you about it too. Again, go to the show notes or go to birthworker.com/makemoney-podcast, and you'll be able to see all of the ways that you can grow your income as a doula without attending more births or being on call 24/7, 365. I am all about expanding my impact and income and helping you expand too, so we can make a lasting impact on the global birth community, even when we're not on call for a birth. So you can grab that free resource in the show notes or go to birthworker.com/makemoney-podcast. All right, thank you so much for listening. I hope today was helpful for you, and I will see you right back here next week.